We'll turn it over to Paul for the reading this evening.
Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding.
Surely the reading of the Word of God will be a blessing to your heart and mind this evening. So if you still have your Bibles out tonight, I want to get into a message this evening. I believe, not only do I believe it, it's a help and something that we need. Where I'm wrestling with this message tonight and this morning and really and truly been working on this for the last about 2.5-3 months. Is where to start and where to stop. Just to be honest with you, I don't want to pour too much out tonight. I don't want to try to overflow this. I understand that that here's the way it works with these type of messages and these type of lessons, if you will, that we need to get in tonight what we can get in to best benefit you, so that you can absorb it, so that you can take it on board and by Lord's grace apply it into your life. Rather than trying to dump a whole box in there and you only remember 18% of that, if you know what I'm saying. You say, well, you know, we always have next Sunday. And if the Lord comes back and we don't have next Sunday, it really doesn't matter about stress after that point. It's all done and over with. And we're looking to live in glory from that point forward. But I do want to speak to you guys about how to overcome stress. I don't want you to think this is another guru topic. I don't want you to think this is another self-help podcast or anything like that. Guys, I believe this to be a serious problem amongst our society. I believe it to be a serious problem within our churches. I know for an absolute fact, and we'll talk about it briefly this evening, amongst clergymen, amongst preachers and pastors, and I can only really and truly attest to American preachers and pastors to this point, that this is a severe problem, a severe problem. When I was pastoring in the States, the number of pastors who were quitting, there was at least one every week, the numbers were, that pastors were leaving the ministry because of the unsurmountable amount of stress and expectations. And I just read an article the other day that they said that that number has increased since coming out of lockdowns and pandemics and COVID and all the things that are going on in the world today. Guys, I'm not saying that to say, look at me, look at that. I'm not saying that for any reason. I'm just telling you tonight that really and truly, no matter what profession you're in or what part you have in this life, stress is somewhere along the line. And everybody in this room tonight are experiencing some form of stress. Now, guys, what you're not going to hear me say is the banishment of stress. Okay, I will touch on this here in just a little while. I personally believe, and I think studies have proven it, that some amount of stress in your life is a good thing in order to keep us healthy. Okay, but it is the stress that we feel as if we cannot cope with, the stress that we feel like that we are at our wit's end, that we need to face this evening. And I believe that we need to bring it down to where the Bible gives us the answer. We're going to find that here tonight. And you say, well, wait a second, preacher. I have 222 books that I've read on stress and how to manage that. And I'm going to ask you, how's that working out so far? 202 new self-help books are produced and published every single year in our world. 202 every single year. Why do you think new ones are produced every single year? Same reason fad diets come out every single year. Same reason the January flow in the gym crowd with a, hey, 12-month discount here, five pounds for the first month, and after that you get this and that, but you're locked in for 12. People use it for 6 weeks, they never dart the door again, but they continue to pay because people will pay for it. That's why it's produced, my friend. It's a marketing tactic. It's what it's taught in business school to upscale, to bring something that people want, that they think they want and they know they need, but whether or not they're willing to pay the cost and apply it into their life to make the difference, that is what we want to look at here this evening. It's what you're going to do and what you're going to take on board to handle the stress that comes into your life and how to do so in the best way. We opened up this evening with Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, as Paul read it here just a moment ago. And again, I'll read it. It says, hast thou not known, that hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Father in heaven, we pray a special blessing upon the reading of thy word. We ask you this evening, Lord, to please speak to us, Lord. Open up our hearts and our minds in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So holiday season is getting close upon us. Boy, it's getting nice out here. I was trying to see if that had an air conditioner button over there because I just want to use the air conditioner in the United Kingdom, to be honest with you. Denise told me not to touch it. But anyway, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to poke some buttons to see if the AC would work in here, see what would happen. Guys, the sun's been out. It's been a gorgeous past few days. And I know that holiday season is right around the corner. And it won't be long to where our populous guys begin to flock to the coast or somewhere abroad in search of warm weather and days of rest. And that's what we look for. And I'm going to say this. Holidays are needed. Breaks are needed. Rest is needed. Breaks from the everyday hustle and bustle, they are needed. They are warranted. And guys, we should take them. We should take advantage of the time that we have. Studying a little bit on stress, I found out that one expert said that 89% of people are suffering what has been labeled today as chronic stress syndrome. And so what that means is that most of us here today within this room, unless you've learned the answer, you're dealing with some form of emotional, physical, mental, or spiritual problems in your life causing you to be stressed and possibly causing you to be defeated. Stress has many causes. It really does. Many of which are perceived outcomes, situations, meaning that we see our days as being too long and our nights too short. It seems as if sometimes, guys, when we're stressed, it seems as if we just can't get everything done. And I understand that. Feels like the diary is full and we're just running out of time to do what we need to do. But I want to say this to you this evening. In the scripture that we just read here tonight, I want to say there's hope. There is hope. And beloved, I know this to be true. And I know this, number one, I know this for two reasons. Number one, it's the Word of God. I can put my faith and my trust in every jot, every tittle, every word that is in this book, all 66 books right here and now, and I have. I have applied it in my marriage. I've applied it in my home. I've applied it in my children. I've applied it in business. This is a proven book for faith and practice. I've applied this in my salvation. So number one, I know that our answers are where we're going to look tonight because the Word of God says so. Number two, because I've experienced and I do experience it. So I want us to look at our text verse tonight, but I want us to read on as well in Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to look at verses 28 through 31. And the Bible says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength." Verse 30 says this, "Even the youth shall fail and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I love verse 31. That's my mom's favorite verse, and today happens to be the American Mother's Day, so I thought that was kind of neat. Didn't plan that, to be honest with you, but it is what it is. And I thank God for this passage of Scripture. And we're going to look deeply into it this evening. And what my prayer is that the Holy Spirit of God will rivet every word from God's Word into your heart tonight to help you learn how to deal with this problem of stress. And guys, you need to understand, if stress is left unattended, it will destroy you. It will do the same thing to you physically that a grain of sand will do in a piece of machinery. It will utterly destroy you. Stress will occupy your mind. It will occupy your time. It will occupy you in ways that you've never seen coming. I mean, guys, spiritually, stress will distract you and keep you from loving and enjoying the Lord as you ought to love and enjoy the Lord. And I look so often, many times, and I so many people that I know, and I know fellow brothers and sisters, fellow Christians, ministers, pastors have been pastoring as long as I've been alive, and I've heard many of them get in the pulpit and make statements that you have to live a sorrowful life and you have to live a life and not misery, but just not a life of happiness. But you can have joy and not be happy. And I understand that you can. Joy is a different product than happiness is, as we heard last week. But I'm going to tell you something. There is a love that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, that if you are a child of God, if you are born again of the blood of Christ, you need to experience and you need to live. And if you're not living it, you are shortchanging the life that God has given you, the only life God has given you in this world. How many of us, and I know we have a group of younger people in here, I understand that, okay? Some of us, we... But how many of us can look back in our life and we say, you know what, I wish I would have done then what I know now, when we had the physical capabilities? How many of us look back 10, 20, 30 years ago and possibly say, man, if I had the mental acuity, if I had the knowledge, if I had this, then I would have never done that. Does that make sense to you this evening? I know hindsight's 20/20. I get that part, but I'm just saying, we're all in that boat. Guys, tonight, I'm hoping you can take on board of what we're going to look at here concerning stress so that you don't look back 10 years from now and look like you're 10 years older than you really are because you didn't apply what we need to apply in our life. Guys, God's given you one life in this world today. And I'm not telling you He's given you a life to live in entertainment, but He has given you a life to enjoy. He's given you a life to love for Him, to exemplify what Christ is, the love of God, the sacrifice He paid so that we can live here today and be a shining light in a lost and dying and dark world, in a world that is getting darker by the minute. Guys, again, I'm going to repeat myself, but stress will occupy your time and your mind. It will rob you of the love that the Lord wants you to have. So first thing I want us to look at here, before we get into the solution, we need to know what we're dealing with. We need to know why we're dealing with this. I want us to look first tonight at the product of stress and what it is this evening. I mean, have you ever just wondered in your life, you ever try to figure it out, you know, that what stress actually produces? What does it produce in our life? And how many people do we know that are suffering from stress in their life and yet they're fully unaware? Now, the first thing you're thinking when I say, hey, this person is suffering from stress in their life and they're fully unaware, I know it may sound odd to you. How can someone miss being stressed, guys? And it isn't so much missed being stressed, but they're missing the product of stress. Now, the reason I can emphasize that point to you this evening is because I have been there. I have been there. As a matter of fact, my own wife tells me that I feed off of, like I'm a stress junkie. And she's correct. She is correct. Doing the things that we did in the last, you know, 25 years and all of our life and the way our life has operated and functioned, there's a mechanism there a lot of times that if I don't feel like there's a bit of pressure and stress on me, I feel like I'm not doing something. And that's wrong entirely. You got to recognize what stress is and what it produces. The product of stress, number one, that we find, guys, we understand that product of stress is exhaustion. The exhaustion is really defined as the state of physical or mental tiredness. Now, I'm going to say this, and I want to move on to a verse, otherwise I'm going to take too long tonight. Daniel had looked back at some photos of us when they were all little, and he said, I forget his exact words, but he said, man, Daddy, you look pretty rough in those photos, man. I was in my undershirt after I had taken my shirt and tie off from work, and we were eating dinner. I think we were celebrating a birthday, and my eyes were dark. They were all tan, so it was summertime. My eyes were dark. I looked like death rolled over. I really did. And I said, yeah, I know, buddy. I did. There was a big stint in our life where, we were... it was rough. I was rough. She wasn't. She was great. So look again with me, verse 28 here in our Bible. And notice what it says. It says here, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no search in his understanding. What does that mean to us this evening? It tells us that God never gets stressed, that he never gets tired, that he's unfailing, that he's omnipotent. He's the all-knowing God. He never gets worn out. He never has dark eyes. God never gets tired. He never faints. And I wonder how many of us, guys, have had busy, slamming weeks, week after week after week. How many of us simply are looking for the light at the end of the tunnel, hoping it's not a train, and we just keep working and pushing forward, and we keep telling ourselves, if we keep pushing, we keep working, there's rest just over there, all the while never meeting that place of peace. In her life, if I can just get through one more week, if I can get through one more month, if I can get through one more quarterly projections, if I can hit that budget for this quarter, there's rest and there's peace over there. And then guess what happens? As soon as that new quarter starts up, as soon as that new month, that new week, that new Monday, boom, we're back at it full force, unaware of that we're actually exhausted in our life. Look at the rest of the verses here, verse 29. So the Bible says, He giveth power to the faint. Beloved, that's us. And to them that have no might, He increases strength. Us, that's us, guys, who have no strength. Stress is no respecter of persons. Either we can understand. I mean, look, I tell you what, look at the young people. It's no respect. Look at verse 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. We think, well, I got youth on my side. Stress is not a respecter of persons. Guys, we think, you know what we think in our mind? We think we're strong enough. We think we're powerful enough. We think we're strict enough. But we're wrong. And we're looking for a solution in the wrong place. Guys, you know what we become in stress in our life? We become a horse chasing a carrot. I have an idea, a great idea, why many of us suffer from it. I used this in a message this morning. I'll touch on it just a wee bit. But you know, pride. Pride. Now, guys, I understand the Newt Rockne speeches. You got to have pride. The Vince Lombardi speeches, got to have pride. I understand that. There's a difference between pride and self-respect. But pride in every single avenue of life is vile, sinful, wicked, wrong, and is a destroyer of your soul. Clearly. Anything that has to do with pride is vile. Pride of life. Was it not? The third category of sin that we find in Genesis 3. She looked at the food, the tree, and able to make one wise. That's what we're chasing, that pride of life. The Bible does tell us that pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. We understand that, Proverbs 16:18. Do you know what pride is? Pride desensitizes you to reality and the truth. Pride convinces you that you are better than you are. Pride convinces you that you're more successful than you've ever been. Pride convinces you that you will have more accomplishments that you'll never meet. That's pride. I like how Dante, and when I think it was the fourth circle of hell, that Dante placed the greedy and he put a horse bag, a feed bag, over their head, but there was a hole in it. It was never to be filled, and for all eternity, they would chase these empty dreams, that of greed that's filled with pride, my friend. Guys, I'm going to tell you, a lot of times we have stress in our life because of our own pride, because of our own inability to say, you know what? I need to stop. I need to apply some principles in my life here so that the stress doesn't destroy me or my family. So what is stress, guys? What is stress? Stress is the gap which exists between the demands placed upon us and the strength we have to meet those demands. That is what stress is. Over here, guys, we have certain demands that are upon us, certain responsibilities, certain necessities, certain deadlines, certain opportunities, things that we want to do right here. Okay? We have those. Things we need to do. Things we should do, things that we have to do, things that we typically face every single day. From a business perspective, we call that in the weeds. You're in the weeds, working, 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 working. That's where your day is spent. But on the other side of the equation, we have our inability. We have our weaknesses. We have our faults. We have a must do. I understand that. We also have a I cannot do. And there's a gap between those two. What we cannot do and what we must do. And that is where stress lies. There's a chasm between the must do's and the seemingly cannot do's which overwhelm us. Guys, my research over the years in corporate development and employee morale determined that high-placed, well-driven companies had morale of their staff to be very, very low. Even though they were successful, and even though they were very driven, and there was a high pace and excitement, clinical psychologists found out that 21 out of 22 people who sat on executive committees were suffering from things such as ulcers, high blood pressure, depression, and every single one of them summed them up to one thing: stress. And it doesn't stop there, guys. I mean, studies have revealed stress is high amongst physicians, amongst waitresses, machine operators, miners, inspectors, painters, hairdressers, meat cutters, plumbers, warehouse workers, preachers, and pastors, all of which are under an incredible amount of stress. And today, guys, I already mentioned a little bit that clergymen are living lives of quiet desperation because they're not able to cope with the pressures of being pulled in so many different directions. Even young people today are under an incredible stress. So many of them are turning to drugs, they're turning to promiscuity, they're turning to alcohol, and they're doing so all because of stress. They're looking for an out. They want to get out. They're broken homes, guys, unpaid bills, scarred lives, and I mean, in the community, in every community, not just ours. And beloved, we're surrounded by a great army of walking wounded who are being destroyed by stress. The product is physical. Indigestion, upset stomach, shortness of breath, pains, headaches, heartaches, muscle pains, fatigue, boredom. I mean, the product is emotional, temper tension. Husbands and wives are far more likely to have an argument if they're stressed and they're tired. And the product is also spiritual. You are more apt to get away from God and to fail to have your quiet time with Him because of stress. And brother, can I say this to you tonight? And I want this to sink in. If you're too busy to pray, if you are too tired to pray, there's something wrong in your life. Something wrong in your life. You know what? I rarely am attacked when I get into the Bible. When I sit down and I read, and I dig, I honestly could read all day long. You put me in a corner, you put me in my study, especially if I don't have my phone, I could sit there and I could read and I could read and I can get lost in those words and just continue on just reading. I love reading. I love my Bible. I wish that was all that was involved in preaching, okay? When I'm witnessing to people, when I'm taking gospel tracts and I go and I witness to people, when I'm preaching, rarely do we have these different types of it. Do you know when I'm attacked? When I drop that knee at night and I start to pray. I pray for my two boys in the States at a prescribed time every single morning. It actually goes off of my phone to remind me to. It's not a long, lengthy prayer. It's a quick prayer. I started it when both of them went into boot camp. When one did, then I set a time. When he goes, I'll set it 15 minutes later. I'll say my prayer for him. And I do it every day. I pray for my children multiple times a day, but I have those designated times. Did you know that undoubtedly something always happens? It's time to pray for Darius, time to pray for David, time to pray at night, time to pray in the morning. Wake up in the morning, kick my legs off the bed, and I want to drop down, I want to pray. Oh, my back hurts, knee hurts, leg hurts. Oh, I'm still tired, I need to go get a cup of coffee. You see what I'm saying? There's something wrong, guys, if you're too tired to do these things, and you've got to make changes. University of Washington School of Medicine measured stress. Now, this was interesting, I love this. They measured stress, relative stress on various things in life, which could happen to you, all right? And what they did is they set a scale with the amount of stress a person could have from 0 to 200 in each one of these categories. And they set this list of several different things. And they ended up saying that if you score 300 at one time, that you're probably on your way to the hospital. And so the death of a spouse equaled 100, divorce 73, marital separation 65, personal injury or illness 53, marriage 50, fired at work 47. I was kind of shocked at that one. Their study found that there was more stress to get married than there was to get fired. So, see, I always said, funeral, wedding, you know, somebody's dying. Anyway, marital reconciliation, 45. Retirement, 45. Pregnancy, 40. Sexual difficulties, 39. Death of a friend, 37. Change to a different line of work, 36. Change in responsibilities at work, 29. Son or daughter leaving home, 29. Wife begins or stops work, 26. Change in living conditions, 25. Change in work hours, 20. Change in residence, 20. Change in church activities, 20. Change in sleeping habits, 16. Holiday time or vacation, as they listed it, 13. And then, of course, Christmas is 12. All of these things cause stress. So just think about it tonight. Just think about it for just a second. If we were to go through that list and tick things off and add up the score, how many of us or how many people we know will be knocking on the door of scoring 300? I would say many of us would. I remember years ago reading that as many as 75% of people who go to their primary care physician or their GP are going there because of stress-related disorders. And they tell us now that the majority of people who attend spas are not going to spas anymore to lose weight, but to relieve stress primarily. Listen, guys, stress is a problem. I understand this. It's not an excuse to fail. It's not an excuse to quit. It's not an excuse to give up. But it is something that is a reality that we need to face. That's the product of it. Let me say this to you while we're still on this point. We'll move on to the final point tonight. When you're stressed, you're more vulnerable, aren't you? When you're stressed, you're more open to satanic attacks. You're more prone to argue. You're more prone to leave alone your quiet time, to fail to seek the face of God. That's a product of stress. It's physical, it's emotional, it's mental, it's spiritual. Exhaustion at the end of the day. But you know what? Here's the good news, guys. This is the good news. We're not without hope, and we're not without help. It sounds like the length of time that I put under that, and it sounds like the nasty list that's up on the screen, it sounds like, man, we're all without hope, but you're not. Not in the least bit. I mean, guys, there's a promise that we're given. And so whereas the product of stress is exhaustion, the promise of strength is elation. It is. And you can bet your bottom pound on that, that it is tonight. Look at verse 29 again with me. It says, He giveth power to the faint. And I told you, that's us. We think we're strong enough, but we're not. Why do we think we're strong enough to handle all the stress of the world? Because we're prideful. Prideful gives you false outlooks. Prideful makes you think you're stronger than you are. Pride makes you, I mean, we talk about, we got our little list at the gym. It says, where do you leave your ego? Leave your ego at the door. You know what the ego is? That is your enemy tonight. Ego is your enemy. We call those ego lifts when people usually break their back, right? It is your enemy. And pride, my friend, will destroy you. But there's the promise of strength. He giveth power to the faint. Verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Can I say this to you? And I've already touched on it a wee bit. Guys, it's not a sin to be stressed. As a matter of fact, I've already said this. We need a certain amount of stress in our lives to keep us healthy. There needs to be a certain amount of tension in our life to help us be stronger. But to remain under stress or to remain in a chronic stress syndrome, guys, that's pathetic. And it is a sin to fail to come to God. When you know what to do and you say, nope, I'm going to deal with it myself. That's a sin, amen? That's a slap in the face of God when you say, you know what? I'm going to deal with it myself because I'm strong enough. You're not strong enough. None of us are strong enough, my friend. And it is pride telling you that you are. Do not come to Him and get the help that He wants for us. To find out God's purpose in our life, my friend. Overcoming stress comes by way of a promised strength. Number one, in the midst of adversity. I told you just a moment ago that there is a little bit of stress that is good in our life. The Jordan River in Israel is one of the fastest moving rivers in all the world in certain places. Matter of fact, in certain places, vegetation can't even grow on the sides because the water moves too fast. The Sea of Galilee is connected to the Jordan. So you got the Sea of Galilee here, which is there in Tiberias. Then you got the Jordan River. And then it ends in a place called the Dead Sea. Okay? All right? Dead Sea, nothing grows. Nothing grows in the Dead Sea. Why? Because it's dead. All right? And it's one molecule away from being classified as a solid. We've been there. I've stood up in the Dead Sea like a bobber. Okay? Just like that. No feet, not on the floor. And I can't, trust me, I sink like a rock in the water. And it was hilarious. Just standing there bobbing up and down. I thought it was neat. All tingly when you got out because of the salt. But in the Sea of Galilee was given to quick storms that would come in real quick and real fast, unmeasurable many a times, but unprepared for it too. And people would take their boats and try to cross over to the other side, and boom, that storm would come in and it would hit. And many people would think, let me just get to the River Jordan. If I can get to Jordan, I can get out of this storm. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ used the Sea of Galilee and the storms that occurred there, and how they toiled night and day. They were toiling through these storms. Guys, it's why He uses an example in our lives. Because in our mind, we think we're strong enough. We can just row, row, row our boat, get on the Jordan, and then everything's fine. Because once we get on the Jordan, the water will take us, and we're just in, you know, we're out of the storm, we're kicking back, we're having drinks, we're enjoying ourselves. But where does the River Jordan take you? It takes you to the Dead Sea. It takes you to a place of death. The Lord's not interested in you getting out of the storm many a times. He's not necessarily interested in you getting away from adversity. He's interested in you trusting Him through it. That's the promise of strength. You don't get stronger without adversity. You're not going to get stronger without increasing the weight. We're not going to get better and stronger without stress in our life. But how we handle it and how we react to it is the key. And that's how you're going to overcome it. Again, verse 31 tells us, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. If you're renewing something, that means it was there once before, yeah? They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Now, guys, you're not going to grow wings and fly. It's not a literal statement. So it says, as eagles. The Lord is using the eagle as an example, because you know what the eagle does? When the storm rolls in, the eagle flies on the winds of the storm. The very same winds that's tossing the ship to and fro on the sea are the same winds that the eagle sees as an opportunity to open up. We know heartaches, guys. We all have them. We know disappointments. We know problems. Matter of fact, Job said, a man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. That sounds great. But life, guys, is not primarily a problem to be solved, but it's a mystery to be lived. And we need to look at it like that. There's a lesson to learn from the eagle as the heat of the day begins to foster the storms, and as they begin to brew, the eagle waits for the opportunity to spread her wings. And while the storm is wreaking havoc on others, she's flying high above them all. Guys, if you'll get a hold of this passage of Scripture, allow it to sink deep into your life, deep into your heart tonight. When the storms come into your life, and they will come. Jack Wood used to tell us that, or tell his preacher boys, he says, there's going to come a time that whether you're either in life, that you're either going into a storm, in the middle of a storm, or coming out of a storm. If you'll get a hold of this tonight, it'll help you. If you get a hold of this, when the storms come, just like the eagle does, that storm will come into your life and it'll simply cause you to rise higher. You'll never be closer to God than when you're in the midst of a storm trusting Him. When you're in the storm, you spread the wings of faith. You continue to rise higher and higher. So there's adversity, promise of strength. So overcoming stress by way of strength in the midst of the storm or in the midst of adversity. But it's done through patience. And that's the one word that everybody loves so much, don't we? And I'll tell you something else about this eagle, guys. I love eagles. I think they're amazing. But when those thermal updrafts begin to develop, you know what she does? You know what that eagle does? She stays up there longer. Those thermal updrafts in the midst of that storm begin to, that high begins to push up. She doesn't go down, she doesn't go off, but she just opens those wings up broader and broader, and she stays up there longer and longer as the storm continues to brew. The eagle's not above that storm or up in that sky frantically flapping her wings. She's gliding upon the storm, guys. She's riding upon the storm. She's going, guys, and you'll find out in your life tonight if you will apply this. If you will learn to wait upon the Lord, not only will you rise higher in the midst of the storm, but you're going to get closer to God. But you're going to have to learn. You have to learn endurance. Endurance that you've never had before. Years ago, February 1997, it was an evening service, and I went down to an altar. My pastor, Dr. Jim Ellis, was preaching a sermon titled The Call of a Pastor. Never felt that I was called a pastor at that time, but I knew God was calling me to preach. And I went in and locked down to the right side of that pulpit and got on my knees. And I said, Lord, I'm willing to preach the Word of God. I'm willing to go wherever, do whatever, and whatever, these are my exact words, whatever venue would have me preach, whatever venue, I will do so. I cut my teeth in the local jails preaching. Loved it. Moved to Tennessee, started a couple prison ministries there, started preaching to the youth, went to the juvenile center. Started preaching in the church where we were serving there. God called me out to pastor. We started our first church. Pastored there for 12 years. Continued to grow and develop the prison ministry. It is the longest running local prison ministry now to date in the state of Tennessee. And there's over 19 preachers that are on a rota right now going through that very same thing. When the prison had problems and none of the volunteers could come in, we went down on Monday night. Anyway, we kept going down, kept going down, kept going down. They said, we can't let you in. The doors are broken. Whatever the problem was, we couldn't. No volunteers could get in for 6 months. But we showed up every single Monday despite the fact that we knew we wasn't going to go through the doors. And you know why? Because they saw that we were in it for the long game. That's endurance in the ministry. Guys, one monkey doesn't make a circus. Anybody can do anything for a short period of time. But it's the endurance in this life that God has given us. That's what's going to pay the price. And it's going to come with patience this evening. You'll mount up wings like an eagle. And you'll find that God's plan is going to be within your patience. So overcoming stress, I say this to you this evening, by way of strength in the midst of adversity, through patience will reveal God's plan in your life. And God's plan for your life, God's plan for my life this evening is endurance. It is endurance. When the eagle gets up high, guys, they have a view of all the landscape. Can you imagine what that eagle sees way up there in the air? You know what Job says? Job says in Job 39, verse 29, he's speaking of the eagle. He says, "From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off." The eagle has a particular lens, which allows, male and female, but allows them to look right directly into the face of the sun. Isn't that amazing? You know, you'll be able to see things in a different light. The eagle can see things 20 feet away that is blind to us from 5 feet away. And when God gives you wings as an eagle in your life, He'll give you an eyes of an eagle as well, spiritual-wise. You'll be able to see and understand things in a way that you never could before. In the midst of storms, adversity, you'll face that you never knew before. But when you wait upon the Lord, He can mount up His wings as an eagle. You know, the eagle can fly about 50 miles an hour. But it has been measured in storms that they've reached up between 70, 80, 90, and even 100 miles an hour in the midst of a storm. So my friend, I'm going to ask you tonight, how do you overcome stress? We do so like an eagle overcomes a storm. Patiently waiting, meticulously preparing, by supernaturally trusting the Lord and the One who will give us the strength in the time of need, the One who will carry us through and above the storms of life, enabling us to see things we've never seen before, understand life in a manner yet to be touched in our life. When stress comes and problems arise, we are too quick to jump. Knee-jerk reactions. Flinch. And the only ones that flinch, guys, are the ones who are on the losing side. So I want to encourage you here this evening. I don't know what the Lord's going to do with this tonight. I don't know if He's going to prepare a second lesson for a message for next week. I don't know. But what I do know is by simple numbers alone that every one of us in here this evening are, have, or will experience some type of emotional, physical, mental, or spiritual problem that is going to bring stress in our life. And tonight, the way that you're going to overcome it is face the adversity, patiently wait unto the Lord, and when that patience is applied and you soar like that eagle, God's plan in your life will be revealed. But you're not going to see God's plan if you're stuck down on the ground. You're not going to see God's plan if you're not patient. You're not going to see God's plan without the adversity. Will you bow your heads tonight? Father, we do thank You for all that You've done and who and what You are. We thank You for this evening. And I pray tonight, Lord, that You take Your word. I pray that You help each and every one of us, Lord. I pray that You take it, give us guidance, grace, and mercy. Take it and place it into our hearts and let us not soon forget it. Let us understand that no matter what situation we're dealing at the present or dealing with at the present moment, that Father, if we'll just mount up as wings of eagle, if we'll just be patiently waiting on You, Your plan will be revealed in Your time. So Father, I ask You to help us. Help us not flinch. Help us not have a knee-jerk reaction. Help us not operate as a prey, but rather a predator. Let us see Your plan in our lives. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. I hope and pray that God's message was a blessing to you this evening. I do hope that